This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It is the goofiest episode of Fantasy Football Weekly ever.
I don't know if I call it goofy.
In our 27-year history of this show, we have never had less concrete information with which to base our analysis upon.
On one of the more important weeks of
All it is the first week of the playoffs. Never has there been a better week to have a first-round bye than this week. It's basically an if-then episode of Fantasy Football Weekly for you coders out there. You're going to be hearing a lot of if this guy plays, if this quarterback is in, then this, if this defense isn't ravaged by COVID, then this. So brace for a lot of that. We're going to try to get through all the games, including the games that have now moved to Monday and Tuesday night. Las Vegas and Cleveland is now Monday night. Washington, Philadelphia, now Tuesday night. Seattle, Los Angeles, now Tuesday night. On Sunday, you're going to need to make some tough calls about Monday and Tuesday players whose status you don't know, that you're hoping will clear the COVID protocols, but you're not going to know.
Yeah.
And mostly, the answers I'm going to be giving people are start guys you know are going to play.
Start all your Chiefs and Chargers.
Go start Travis Kelce. We're going to go through all the matchups, of course, like always. No bye weeks this week. Three tough questions like we usually do. Let's begin with the Texans taking on the Jaguars. My co-host, I should mention,
yeah.
Matt Harrison, at Explosive Output on Twitter. Brian Johnson, at BTXJ on Twitter as well. Hi, guys.
Well, this one will be a quick one. I bet it will.
Texans and Jaguars. Especially in the playoffs,
yeah.
Where I've asked you guys, don't bore our listeners with players who are not on any playoff rosters. I don't want to hear about Rex Burkhead this week.
Well, since there's a lot of COVID people in the protocol this week, you might need a few Texans and a few Jaguars. So let's talk about the guys that you might need. Brandon Cooks is the obvious one. He gets a B grade here. With Davis Mills back under the helm, Cooks was targeted copiously last week. 11 targets, 8 for 101 last week against Seattle. In his first meeting against the Jags, Cooks went for 132 yards on 5 catches.
Speaking of Davis Mills, hold on a minute. Because the collective group that was here last week hammered Take a Chance on Me, including Brian Johnson, who went 3 for 3 with Davis Mills. Take a Chance on
Rashad
Me.
Rashad Penny,
which was a huge hit. And your third guy, do you remember?
Jalen Guyton.
Yeah, Jalen Guyton.
But that became too easy, and I threw out Josh Palmer as a bonus.
And then they both scored.
So I'll take 3.5.
You can have the 3.5.
Thanks.
The Hooper Scooper was a big hit last week, too. All right. Feel free to continue.
By the way, Scott Fish, we got to throw out the Craig Reynolds. It wasn't Taycom, but yeah, Craig, I was like, I never heard of the guy before.
Yeah, he mentioned Craig Reynolds, but did not actually technically use him as his take a chance at me running back.
Another guy that Scott Fish has mentioned a few times is Nico Collins, who just recorded his career best day last week against Seattle. The intriguing thing was 10 targets he saw from Davis Mills, and Collins gets to draw the worst of the Jags corners. That's Tyson Campbell, who's allowing a passer rating of 105 in his coverage. No playoff team is starting David Johnson. Both quarterbacks in this game, Davis Mills and Trevor Lawrence, are on the bench. So now on to the Jags you can start. Marvin Jones is the wide receiver you'd want to play if you needed a Jaguar. He only gets a C. The bright side is the Texans have allowed the 8th most receiving yards to opposing wide receivers on the season. You're not dipping down to LaVisca Chenault or Laquon Treadwell territory here. And James Robinson, he gets a B plus, I think. For a good day here.
That was not even subtle. He is a B grade.
Oh, whatever you say, Charles.
That is what I said.
If you believe some of the reports, there was a bit of a schism between Robinson and Urban Meyer, and he was limited in Wednesday's practice, but suddenly he's feeling a lot better on Thursday.
Yeah, funny how that works.
The Texans are allowing the most rushing yards per game to opposing backs, mm-hmm. the third most rushing touchdowns, and 4.9 yards per carry. They're giving up a first down on basically every two runs, so you can start James Robinson with some confidence.
Yeah, I hope that they pound James Robinson, and it turns out that the guy that was limiting his reps was not Daryl Bevell, because it could be.
Urban Meyer was already pounding people with his foot, and that's why he's not there anymore.
Nicely done. That's it?
That's it.
Okay, let's move on to our next matchup. Cowboys taking on the Giants. Brian, for the Cowboys, this running game is a wreck. We don't know for sure if Tony Pollard's going to try to play through the torn plantar fascia in his foot. Ezekiel Elliott's been bad, and they actually gave more touches to Corey Clement last week. What do you do with this running game?
Yeah, you pretty much just start Zeke. And I'll mention quickly, the Giants and Cowboys did play in Week 5. We'll reference that game a couple times here. But I'm going to give Zeke a B. He had 110 yards and a touchdown rushing, caught two passes and a receiving touchdown in the first meeting. Will likely be without left tackle Tyron Smith in this game, though. That said, the Giants could be without Leonard Williams, defensive end, which would be a big loss. But even when at full health, New York has allowed 100-plus rushing yards per game to the opposition. But like you said, you'll want to keep an eye on Tony Pollard. That'll dim Zeke's prospects a little bit. But I'm still giving Zeke a B here in a game that should be a positive game script for the running backs for the Cowboys side. CeeDee Lamb, a very positive outlook for him. He gets an A. New York has been brutal against wide receivers lately, allowing the 4th most yards to the position over their past 2 games. Lamb had 84 yards and a touchdown in the first meeting, and that's probably a solid floor projection for him in this one. So an A for CD. Not an A for Amari Cooper, but I am going to give him a B. He also did well in the first meeting. He had 60 yards and a touchdown in the Week 5 game. He has also scored in his 2 previous games against the Giants, so he has very good pass performance against New York. So a B for Cooper and a C for Michael Gallup. He did not play in the Week 5 game. He was injured then, but it's a good matchup. And I'm just worried that the script could fall out of favor for the wide receivers for Dallas, but they all have potential here. But just to see for Gallup.
Gallup's look good, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going to get paid this offseason.
Oh, for sure. Where do we want him to end up? Kansas City would be a nice spot.
Yeah. You know, I haven't thought that far ahead, but I don't want him to be one of the other 5 guys in that rotation. Amari Cooper, just as a side note, looked as good as he's looked on the field since before he had the COVID, and before that when he had the hamstring. So you got to go back almost 2 months. He looked downright spry, and I'm optimistic about a big game for Amari Cooper here.
Yeah, and it could be a big game for Dalton Schultz. He had 6 catches for 79 yards in the first meeting between the Giants and Cowboys, and it's a decent matchup for tight ends. The Giants are allowing more than 5 catches and 50 yards per game to the position, so a double-digit PPR floor is in place for Schultz. And Dak Prescott, an obvious A when all 3 wide receivers and the tight end get starting grades. And it's worth mentioning he had 300-plus yards and 3 touchdowns in the first game of the season between these two. Over to the Giants side, not a whole lot to talk about other than season ticket holders supposedly getting a free medium soda at this game.
Why?
I don't know. I read this on Twitter. It's Fan Appreciation Day. So if you spend 50 grand on worthless Giants tickets, you get a free, you don't even get a large.
Well, no, I think they're not allowed to sell large sodas in New York City anymore.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean.
But yeah, it's not. But Saquon Barkley, he gets a C. Dallas has held opposing teams to under 65 rushing yards in 4 of their last 5 games. And their defensive line, Dallas's, has a significant advantage over the Giants' offensive line in this one. So a very soft C for Barkley, who got hurt in the first meeting.
Also
only had
known
two
as a C.
Yeah, just a C. Just a bench, a double bench for Sterling Shepard and Kenny Galladay.
No, that's just a bench, not a double bench. Can't have those.
Give
kind
a,
of
I don't even wait, know what that you means. Never said you can't give a bench plus.
No, I know you can't because that gets you somewhere out of between bench and a C grade. There's no bench plus.
Well,
the double bench is fine because you can't extra bench somebody.
I like how you're fine with the harpoon, though. What the heck?
I don't even know what the harpoon means, so you're probably got the harpoon past me.
We got some harpoon heaves later in the show, but benching Galladay and Shepard, despite it being a positive matchup on paper, we'll get to the quarterback situation in a second for the Giants, but Shepard and Galladay combined for 12 targets.
No. Let's not get to the quarterback situation
It'll
of
only
the Giants
take
at
a
all.
Second. It'll only take a second when we do, but Shepard, Galladay combined for 12 targets last week, just four catches for 42 scoreless yards. So they're on the bench. So is whoever the quarterback is, Mike Glennon.
It'll be
Glennon. Could be Daniel Jones, maybe. Either way, you're benching them. But I will give Evan Engram a C. Opposing tight ends are averaging nearly five catches, 60 yards per game against Dallas. Engram had four catches for 55 yards in the first meeting, so double-digit PPR points is possible.
Listen, this is the ninth straight positive matchup on paper for Evan Engram, and he never comes through.
It's the tight end wasteland.
No, it's over.
You take 10 points.
No, he's not giving you 10 points because he never does.
All right, fine. Still giving a C.
Patriots take on the Colts. And there's only a couple of guys to talk about. Damian Harris gets a B grade, expected to be recovered from his hamstring injury for this game. Colts are a good run defense, but Harris just shredded good run defenses this year, including Buffalo, before last week's bye. Indy's allowing the ninth fewest rushing yards, eighth fewest rushing touchdowns to opposing backs. And Harris, again, uber hot before the injury, scoring eight times in his last eight games, a span over which he was averaging a whopping 5 yards per carry. So even in a tough matchup, Harris comes in with a B grade. We're going to keep Ramondre Stevenson on the bench. When Harris gets the full workload that he gets, there's not enough left for Stevenson, and this is a trickier matchup than most. And the only other guy with a starting grade is Mac Jones. He's topped 230 yards just once, in his last six games. And over the last month, the Colts have allowed the league's fewest passing yards, just 177 per game, despite facing far better quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Tom Brady. And he's one of the league's worst deep passers, by the way, where yards and touchdowns come. You know what? I'm putting him on the bench. Forget it. I've just talked myself out of Mac Jones, and all the receivers are on the bench, too. If you got to the playoffs, you don't need Jakobi Meyers, Nelson Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne against a team that's given up the fewest receptions yards and second fewest touchdowns to opposing wide receivers. They're all on the bench. Let's go to Indianapolis' side. Jonathan Taylor's an obvious A. And I should mention here, not that you need any extrapolation on this, but the Patriots are actually shockingly easy to run upon, and they're brutally tough to pass on. They're allowing 154 total yards per game to opposing running backs. That's fourth most. And through the air, they're giving up the fourth most receiving yards. And Taylor can catch a little. He chips in a couple of catches every game.
Sure.
Nyheim Hines is not an option really in this game, and I don't think you're going to need him here. The only other player I've got with a starting grade is Michael Pittman. And he's the only Colts, I think he's the only other Colt outside of Taylor you'd ever consider starting in the playoffs. But it is a bad matchup. Nobody has shut down wide receivers more consistently than New England over the last 5 weeks. Entire receiving positions are averaging 78 yards per game.
What?
Over the last five against New England. So if all of the Indy receivers are going to get 78 yards, Pittman gets half?
70.
The rest get eight. His one-on-one matchup is brutally tough against emerging star cornerback J.C. Jackson. He has a passer rating against him in his coverage of 39.
That's not good.
That's not good. Carson Wentz is on the bench for the reasons I think you've already heard as we talked about the wide receivers here. And you can pick spots to start Wentz. This is definitely not one of them. Let's take a break. When we come back, take a chance on me. Nine players, not normally in your starting lineup. It's a weird week, and there's going to be a bunch of different angles to start guys you would not normally start. We're going to do our best to give you players we think are going to go with positive matchups. But really, who knows?
We're just guessing.
We're throwing darts.
I got a nice weird angle coming up.
You do. All right. Yeah. We'll stay tuned to Fantasy Football Weekly to hear Brian's weird angle.
Yeah.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly, a segment we like to call Take a Chance on Me. Nine players who may or may not contract COVID between now and when you try to start them.
True.
At the time of this...
I got one that's not going to get it. I'm 99.9... Really? Well, just came off the list.
He's quarantining. Yeah. He's in a box.
Well, now if he just came off the list because he had it and recovered from it, then yes, that's probably safe. Now, if he just came off the list because he was like a close contact, then anything could happen.
No. We'll find out soon.
All right, let's go to the quarterback position. Matt.
I got Jimmy G again, third week in a row.
Well, that's third week probably for you.
Yeah, Jimmy G against the Seahawks in week 13, 299 and 2. That's when I used him. Fish used him last week against the Bengals, 296 and 2. We're going back to the well against the Falcons, who have faced maybe the easiest slate of quarterbacks I've ever seen this year. The notable names they faced, like Heinicke, Dimes, Zach Wilson, Simeon, Trevor Lawrence, and the Panthers' awful trio of quarterbacks twice.
Yeah.
Still, they've allowed the third most passing scores in the league at 2 touchdowns per game and have allowed the 6th most completions. So Jimmy G will get 2 scores in this one.
All right, Brian, you take a chance at me quarterback.
I'm going to Tua Tagovailoa at home against the Jets. Miami won't have Jalen Waddle in this game.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, not officially out.
Well, Waddle was early enough in the week that there's a chance he comes back for this.
I think the odds are he won't play, but hopefully he does. But even if he doesn't, I don't care. I like Tua against the Jets, and how can you not when the Jets have allowed the 6th most passing yards per game at 254 per. And outside of Taysom Hill last week, New York has surrendered multiple passing touchdowns in 8 straight games. That includes the 2 touchdowns and 273 yards they allowed to Tua when these teams first met in week 11. And the Jets are already going to be without starting cornerback Justin Hardy. They could be without their other starting cornerback, Michael Carter, the second. So Tua Tagovailoa.
Bear in mind, I'm an emotionally damaged Vikings fan.
aren't you all?
As are all Viking fans this season.
Aren't we all?
And that's part of what's driving me to recommend Justin Fields on what is currently Monday night. Well, hopefully that will hold. That will hold. With all the Bears' problems with COVID, maybe they move that to Tuesday as well. Rushing yards can mitigate a bad passing game. And Fields is finally being allowed to run the ball. Over his last three full games, he's averaged 74 rushing yards. That puts him, you're basically starting running backs rushing numbers out of Justin Fields. And the Vikings have faced exactly two mobile quarterbacks. Kyler Murray ran for a touchdown. Lamar Jackson ran for 120 yards. Fields will also help through the air because the Vikings cornerbacks are dreadful. No Viking cornerback ranks higher than 128th in coverage by Pro Football Focus. Darnell Mooney can beat the Vikings deep. Allen Robinson, if he's able to go, can win on routes and hands. Jakeem Grant has turned into a factor. There's a lot of ways Justin Fields can get help through the air as well. I like him by ground, sea, and air. Let's go to I'm looking forward to the sea part. Let's go to the running back position, Matt.
I got somebody who's from Seattle.
Oh, nice.
Maybe we just need to let Rashad Penny cook in a peacock to Brian again.
That's
on
Puget
last week's
Sound
call.
Right there, if you're
That's
wondering.
Right.
Live from Puget Sound.
So in the last 3 years, Rashad Penny has had 10 rushing attempts or more in five total games. He scored a touchdown in four of those five games, including two last week in a total of 137 yards. And Alex Collins was just put on the COVID list. Mm-hmm. Now, this game is now Tuesday. But right now, it's just Penny and DJ Dallas left on the roster. He's facing a Rams team that is missing a lot of people,
players,
according to COVID. And the Rams have allowed a touchdown to six running backs who've led their team in touches over the last 7 weeks. So a touchdown is basically guaranteed for Rashad Penny here.
All right. You know, I mocked Penny last week. I can't do it now. So, you know, you guys shut me up on that. Brian, you're taking a chance on me running back.
All right, weird COVID angle time. I'm going back to the Dolphins. And no, not Miles Gaskin. That's too easy. I'm going Salvin Ahmed.
Oh.
The backup running back. Both have been activated off
Gaskin's
of COVID.
Never easy, by the way.
Oh, and
it's
yeah,
never
no,
easy with that.
That's
guy.
Part of the play here. Like, he just disappears at times or gets benched or plays awful. So, and the speaking of awful, the Jets against running backs. They're allowing 100, nearly 180 combo yards and two touchdowns per game.
Which is a stunning amount.
They're actually the worst team against any position out of every defense against any position.
I believe it.
It's by a pretty large margin, too.
Astronomical numbers. So, Salvin Ahmed, there's going to be enough to go around for him in this one. Again, if Gaskin disappears, you could have a top five running back on your hands. And we know.
Well, even if Gaskin doesn't disappear, just out of, if you can get to eight touches on Salvin Ahmed, maybe that's enough.
He'll get double-digit touches in this game.
I just want to see Jared Doakes activated from the practice squad.
Well, I forgot they had Duke Johnson, too. Look,
it's
a long laundry list of running backs, but I went with Ahmed, so let's go, Salvin.
Donta Foreman is your leader among running backs for Tennessee, and he's the latest to go up against the Steelers. This is another really struggling run defense. You saw Dalvin Cook roll up a monster game just in the first half against the Steelers last week. They're allowing the fourth most rushing yards and a league worst 4.9 yards per carry to opposing backs. And the starters over the last 5 weeks have all crushed the Steelers. DeAndre Swift, Austin Eckler, Joe Mixon, Devonta Freeman, and Dalvin Cook. And granted, Devonta Freeman's not nearly as good as those guys in general, but they averaged 146 total yards and two touchdowns. So even if he's half as good as those guys, Donta Foreman sitting on potentially an 80-yard game, 75-yard game, and a touchdown. Matt, let's go to the wide receiver slash tight end position.
Now, as of this recording, I'm taking David Njoku because as of now, the Browns would be missing tight end Austin Hooper and Steven Carlson on the COVID list. Harrison Bryant is questionable with an ankle injury, plus Jarvis Landry is on the COVID list and Kareem Hunt is out. The O-line is a mess. And right now, no Baker Mayfield, no Case Keenum. It's Nick Mullins starting. And a great stat from Kent Weirach. In games which Nick Mullins had at least 90% of the snaps, so these are his days in San Francisco, George Kittle's averages were 10 targets, 6.5 receptions, 99 yards and half a score per game. All of those numbers are way better than Kittle's career averages.
No.
So Mullins likes to target the tight end, and David Njoku has the talent. We saw him go for 149-1 in a game against the Chargers this year. We all know the opportunity is here, and this now he gets the one of the worst tight end defenses in the league. The Raiders are bottom five in receptions, yards, and touchdowns allowed to the tight end position, and they have allowed a touchdown to a tight end nine times in their last nine games.
Brian, you're taking a chance on me running back.
Wide receiver.
Sorry, wide receiver.
No worries.
Thank you.
I'm going Buffalo's Gabriel Davis against the Panthers.
Now,
Manny Sanders is out. Now, the Panthers aren't a great matchup for wide receivers on paper.
No, they're very good.
But Davis will not draw Stephon Gilmore. That'll probably go to Stephon Diggs. We'll see most of that coverage. Mm-hmm. But this is really how good Gabriel Davis is when given an opportunity. He is second over the last 6 weeks in yards per route run, only behind George Kittle and ahead of Justin Jefferson.
Wow.
And in this season, he is number 8 in fantasy points per target. He was 11th last year. He just needs opportunities, and he's going to get them on Sunday. So if Gabriel Davis is out there, especially in a dynasty league, this guy has like top 20 wide receiver potential moving forward this season and next year, depending
on
how long Sanders is.
I particularly like it rolling forward to next year. I'm going A.J. Green against Detroit. It's Detroit, so maybe this is a little obvious. DeAndre Hopkins is out. Green becomes the go-to wide receiver for this passing offense, and he's coming off his biggest game of the year. He runs – this is really weird. A.J. Green runs 88% of his routes from one side of the field. I've never seen that before. He is pegged to the right side of the field, which puts him up against journeyman cornerback Nickel Robey Coleman, who as of 2 weeks ago was sitting on a couch like the rest of us. He's only playing for Detroit because of the loss of cornerback Jerry Jacobs, who was only playing because of the loss of Jeff Okuda. And now they're to Nickel Robey Coleman. Coleman's only played one game this year, but last year with the Eagles, awful, allowing a passer rating of 124 in his coverage. A.J. Green's going to eat him alive.
I like that when players don't have a team, they just sit on a couch.
They're always on the couch.
Or on the street.
Street free agents.
Yeah,
sitting on the street. Pittsburgh is taking on the Titans. We'll start on the Titans side. I told you I love Foreman as my take a chance on me running back. What do you think about the passing game that has languished for most of the last 2 months?
Yeah, I'm giving Ryan Tannehill a C grade. He hasn't really had his full complement of weapons in a long time, which is somewhat excusing his average stat line of 192 yards and 0.8 touchdowns per game over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, he's only good for his rushing ability.
Yeah,
really.
Still, he's very accurate, and this matchup favors running over passing. So just a C, but, you know, actually probably a bench.
I'm with you.
I'll give Julio Jones a B grade, though. Pro Football Focus has Julio's matchup against cornerback Cameron Sutton ranked at 99.4 out of 100 this week. Sutton allowed 2 touchdowns in his coverage last week in Minnesota, and Julio was a bit disappointing last week, but the Jaguars game was never in doubt for the Titans, and they didn't need to throw, and Julio still led the team with 6 targets. Over on the Steelers side, Big Ben gets a B grade, looking inspired in the comeback attempt last Thursday, faces a very similar secondary in Tennessee. They've allowed either 280 yards or multiple touchdown passes in 10 out of 13 games this season. Hmm. And Roethlisberger has thrown for multiple scores in 3 of his last 4. So you can fire up Big Ben.
Yep.
You're obviously firing up Deontay Johnson with an A, and Chase Claypool gets a B. If you were super desperate for a wide receiver, you could throw a harpoon at James Washington. The Steelers receivers torched a similarly bad Vikings secondary last week. Those two secondaries are shockingly similar. The Titans have allowed the most yards and receptions to the wide receivers this year. Pat Freiermuth, he gets a C grade. Titans linebacker Jayon Brown is asked to cover the tight end most often. He allows a catch on 88% of his targets, and Freiermuth has scored in 6 of his last 7. And then Najee Harris gets He gets almost all the work and the hope that he can duplicate what the Patriots backs did 2 games ago. The Patriots' backfield trio combined for 152 total yards and a score on 25 touches. Now, the Titans have held the Jaguars, the Texans, the Alvin Kamara-less Saints to nearly nothing outside of in the running game. But the Pats game, which was 2 weeks ago, they gave up some stuff. So they faced one of the softer running back schedules in the league this year. So I'm holding Najee at a B. It's definitely one of the more positive B grades I'll give, though.
Yeah, we'll just call that we like to call a B grade for Najee Harris in this one.
A real positive B.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's a B.
What about a killer neutral?
B?
A killer B?
I like that better. At least it's witty.
I feel positive about killer Bs.
Yeah. When we come back, Panthers take on the Bills. We'll tell you if there's anybody you can trust out of that Panthers offense, presumably led by Cam Newton, maybe. I don't know.
For half a game, maybe. Yeah,
Josh Allen comes into this one hobbled. What are you going to do with him? Lots of storylines, Panthers, Bills, and many other games when we come back for the final segment of our number one of Fantasy Football Weekly.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Matt Harrison and Brian Johnson with you. If you've got questions about who to start, who to bench in this one of the most confounding weeks.
So do we.
In the history, so do we. I can't tell you how much I agonized over my lineup decisions on Thursday.
Our internal Slack. We're always just asking each other, what should I do?
I've never been more flummoxed. And really, when you're still alive in a guillotine league at this point, you have all-star rosters at this point. Everybody's great. And so you're just trying to swap good for great between your players. And it's unbelievably tricky. GuillotineLeagues.com for all my player rankings. Updated as much as I can possibly humanly update and keep everything going because it's just nuts right now. Let's go back to matchups, including Panthers taking on the Bills. Brian, Panthers ended up quarterback swapping, some would say benching Cam Newton throughout the game. I don't think you can start Cam Newton in this one because you don't know how long he's going to stay in.
No, they're going to rotate he and P.J. Walker in and out of this game. Most likely, the Bills are allowing 190 passing yards and 0.8 passing touchdowns per game. The only points you might get is some rushing from Cam, but you're not going to bank on that. So you're benching the quarterbacks. As far as the receivers go, I'm going to give DJ Moore a C. He's got a hamstring issue. Keep your eye on that, but he is trending towards playing. I would probably bench him if Tre'Davious White, all-pro cornerback for Buffalo, if he was playing, but White is on IR. So I will give Moore a C, who has back-to-back games with 10 targets. Robbie Anderson saw 12 targets last week, had his best game of the season, but he's on the bench. Going back to the quarterbacks, you're not playing Robbie Anderson in week 15. Come on, you're not that nuts. And the last guy we can talk about for Carolina is Chuba Hubbard. I'm reluctant to give him the C. I almost want to bench him because it's really just a nightmare scenario for him with Cam Newton at quarterback.
Well, it is. And then he's not even getting that many touches anymore. Why is Amir Abdullah getting any?
I don't know. And Carolina could be without both of their starting guards. The only reason I'm giving Hubbard the C is Buffalo has been getting gashed on the ground lately, allowing 126 rushing yards over the last three games. So there's some hope for Chuba here, but very little. But if you're desperate at running back, and we're pretty much desperate for anyone at this point, I'll give Hubbard the C. A lot more to talk about on the Buffalo side, starting with Stephon Diggs. Going to give him a B. He will likely get shadowed by Stephon Gilmore in this game. It's a tough matchup. And Carolina is allowing the seventh fewest receptions and the sixth fewest yards to opposing wideouts over the last 5 weeks. But there's no way you're benching Stephon Diggs, but just a B for him. C for Cole Beasley. Emmanuel Sanders was killing Beasley's production, but Sanders left the game last week early with an injury. Beasley saw 11 targets, so he gets a C. But I like Gabriel Davis, might take a chance on me wide receiver a little bit more. A.J. Bouye probably was going to be covering Davis for the most part, but he's going to miss this game. So I like Gabriel Davis a whole lot. That's why he was my take a chance on me wide receiver. Everyone loves Dawson Knox, right? This year he's been arguably the best steal at tight end in all of fantasy football. He gets a B. Carolina has had a hard time handling tight ends recently, as Kyle Pitts, really a wide receiver, and Hayden Hurst just combined for 60-plus yards and a touchdown against the Panthers. The Panthers are allowing nearly 50 yards per game to tight ends over the last four games. That's decent production. Knox should have a good game here. And not lastly, we're going to talk about Devin Singletary in a second, but we got to talk about Josh Allen, of course. No injury designation going into the game, so not concerned about the foot injury. It is a bad matchup, though. Carolina owns the third lowest opponent passing play percentage at just 53%. So it's no real surprise they are allowing the fewest passing yards per game at 178 yards per game. Carolina has allowed one or zero passing touchdowns in six of their last seven games as well. So not a good matchup on paper, but Josh Allen, he's a unicorn. And the Panthers have only faced one true mobile quarterback this year, and that was Jalen Hurts, and he ran for two touchdowns. So that rushing floor and ceiling always makes Allen startable. And I just mentioned Devin Singletary saw a season-high 82% snap share last week.
That was shocking.
The highest for him or any Bills running back all season, but he's still on the bench. You just can't trust what's going on in that backfield in Buffalo.
They're not very productive with the runs they get.
Carolina has allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. So you're benching Singletary. Let's hope Zach Moss goes off. I got a lot of
How about just be active?
Yeah. You know, I got a lot of best ball teams that would really appreciate that.
Have that? All right. Cardinals take on the Lions. And, you know, because it's the Lions, there's going to be some good plays here. Kyler Murray is an A-grade despite the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is not available for this game. Quarterback's weirdly putting up modest numbers against the Lions, though, in part because the running game comes so easily. But here's the thing. He's racked up 59 and 61 rushing yards over the past 2 weeks while scoring two rushing touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. So just between ground and air, I like Murray with an A grade. And he's, I think.
But you're not predicting a C touchdown for him.
No C touchdown here because this game is taking. Oh, actually, Detroit is right on a large body of water.
That's true.
It's on a great lake.
Yeah.
Is it Michigan?
Yeah, I think that's
Michigan.
Huron.
Is it Huron? Let's go.
So.
We're going to go Huron for this. And so, yeah, then maybe a little by C here is a possibility for Kyler Murray. I'm not ruling that out. Zach Ertz gets a B grade. He's played it. By the way, he showed up Friday, dinged up with something, but he's expected to go. He's played in seven games since arriving in Arizona, and he's only gone under 40 yards twice. The Lions have allowed the eighth most receptions and seventh most yards to tight ends. And despite effectively only playing half the season with his new team, he's second in red zone targets on the team.
Wow.
And most since he got there. So I think a touchdown feels like a pretty strong play for Zach Ertz with his B grade. A.J. Green was my take a chance on a wide receiver from earlier. Christian Kirk is a plausible pivot C. You guys think C darts a C minus. It's just a dart throw C grade. He is a solid C grade. I believe he'll move outside and run Hopkins routes. That puts him up against Amari Aruare, a competent cornerback, who's only allowed one score all year and a modest passer rating of 67. C grade on Christian Kirk. Rondell Moore is on the bench. He'll run out of the slot, which will give him some extra looks. But even when Hopkins was out earlier this year, Rondell Moore was not at all consistent. So we're going to leave him on the bench. Let's talk James Conner. I told you Detroit's easy to run upon. Here's my concern in Conner. It's not the Lions. It's a great matchup, and he will probably score a touchdown here. Lions give up the fifth most rushing yards and the second most touchdowns to running back. So Conner feels like a given. But here's the thing. He suffered an ankle injury late in last week's game. Mm-hmm. Chase Edmonds is coming back, and I do worry about him potentially getting rested to make sure the ankle's okay. He's been really good. He's a valuable playoff asset.
Cardinals up by 21. Connor's on the bench for the rest of the game.
Now, the Lions are rarely getting blown out of games, but that could happen here.
Yeah.
The Cardinals are so hot right now. So I've only put a B grade on James Conner out of that concern that it plays out that way. Chase Edmonds, a C grade. If I knew for sure he was going to get high volume, then I would think that Edmonds could be a higher grade than this. But I'm going to play it safe for the moment and give him a C grade in a which should be easy matchup. But I don't know how his workload is going to go in this game. Let's go over to the Detroit side. As you can imagine, there's not a lot to go on here. The only starting grade I've got right now is Amon-Ra St. Brown, who has seen 12 targets in back-to-back weeks and in his last two games is averaging 80 yards per game. Over the last 3 weeks, Arizona allowing 176 yards per game to receivers. That is seventh most. They've given up four scores in those three games to receivers. So there's a chance here, even if it's just garbage time, for Amon-Ra St. Brown, startable here. If DeAndre Swift returns from his shoulder injury, I'll give him a C grade, even though I don't know that he would catch any passes with the shoulder injury. If Jamal Williams were to come back and everybody else is out, then you could use him as a C grade. If they're both out and Craig Reynolds comes off the practice squad again, then maybe you could use him if you needed to. But no. All in all, I think we're just going to leave those guys on the bench. TJ Hockenson underwent season-ending thumb surgery earlier this week. Jared Goff is unstartable in non-Viking games. And Khalif Raymond and Josh Reynolds' usage is way too scattered to trust anything they may or may not do in this game. Matt. Let's go to Falcons taking on the 49ers. This Falcons offense has been wildly inconsistent. Cordell Patterson, his usage has been fascinating. Through the first 8 weeks, Matt, he was averaging five catches, 57 yards, and half a touchdown per game.
Yeah.
Then over the last month, they've dialed back his route running and his receiving to the point that Cordell Patterson is only averaging two catches for 15 yards and has not scored through the air. And that part of his usage worries me because he's now turned into just a part-time running back.
To that, I say P. Shaw, Church. P. Shaw, I say.
What do you mean, P. Shaw?
He was averaging just over six targets per game in the beginning of the season. The last 2 weeks, he's had five targets in each game. I'm not worried about
targets, not receptions.
But targets equal receptions at some point. You have to have a target to get a reception. That's the opportunity we're talking about.
Okay.
Matt Ryan,
it sounds like the coach at the beginning of Hoosiers that said, you know, before Gene Hackman showed up, was like, you can't score if you don't shoot.
I think
that's you.
I think that was Wayne Gretzky who said that.
Oh, maybe you're right.
In the last 3 weeks, the Falcons have faced three top 10 run defenses. So Patterson's still putting up numbers, and the Niners aren't a top 10 run defense. Mm-hmm. They've allowed 14 touchdowns to running backs on the season. That's the sixth most. They're also bottom half of the league in receptions and receiving yards to opposing runners. So he's still an A grade for me. Let's move over to the receivers and get Russell Gage and Kyle Pitts out of the way. I'll give Gage a C, and I'm going to give Pitts a B in this one. Both spend about half their time running from the slot, where they're going to face 5'9 slot corner Kawan Williams. That's a rather large mismatch for the 6'6, 240-pound Pitts. And if they flex outside, they either get Josh Norman, who's allowing a passer rating of 122 in his coverage, or Ambry Thomas, whose Pro Football Focus is 209th ranked corner out of 213. So Matt Ryan, I'm giving him a C grade. His average stat line in games where the Falcons have not been involved in a blowout. And in what I mean by that,
is they suffering a blowout.
They have not won by more than seven, and they have not lost by more than two scores.
So either side of a blowout.
Yep. He's averaging 272 and two touchdowns per game in those games. San Francisco is favored by 9.5 here.
Yeah, this could be a blowout.
But that actually kind of works in Matt Ryan's favor because the two scores is where it becomes a blowout.
Okay.
I think Ryan's going to be just fine. He's a C grade. Debo Samuel's doing his best Cordarrelle Patterson impression. He gets an A grade in this one. The Falcons are a defense you circle on your calendar, plus Elijah Mitchell is trending towards out again. Should mean more touches for Debo. The Falcons have struggled with pass-catching running backs all season, and with Samuel lining up in the backfield a lot, I imagine most of that work goes his way. As I mentioned, Elijah Mitchell hasn't practiced all week with a concussion, so Jeff Wilson is your likely starter.
Right.
Wilson was the only running back to take a handoff last week in Cincy with 13 carries. Atlanta's been okay straight up against the run, allowing 3.9 yards per carry. That's actually ninth best in the league, but they do allow a lot of ground touches, so for that, Wilson stays a C. Brandon Ayuk gets an A grade. Over the last 5 weeks, Ayuk comes in at wide receiver 16 in total PPR points. and he had his highest target total to date last week with 11. Atlanta's bottom eight in both receptions and touchdowns allowed to opposing wide receivers. Not surprising, George Kittle gets an A, even though he did sit out Wednesday's practice with a sore knee, but he was ramping up his work Thursday and Friday. He's had over 150 yards in each of his last two games. And every good tight end to face the Falcons this year has scored a touchdown, every one of them. And Jimmy G, finally, he was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback, so yeah. I like the passing game in this one.
And Kittle's a little dinged up with the knee.
He's probably a little dinged up the last 2 weeks, too, and how'd that work for you?
He has been so good and so dynamic, yeah. So fast. And I know Travis Kelce's coming off a bonkers game.
You're just hurt because
I benched Travis Kelce for Kittle.
In your guillotine.
I did. And it might might cost me my season. I need Kittle. They can both have great games.
Sure.
I don't see any reason why Kittle can't have a 42-point game.
I hope he does.
I hope he does, too. Brian, I believe we have time to work through the Jets taking on the Dolphins. The Jets side, I can't imagine there's anybody you would start in a playoff roster.
Yeah, there's going to be no 42-point games for anyone on the Jets. Maybe not combined among all players. I am going to give Michael Carter a C, though. Expected
really?
To come
okay.
off IR with yep. the ankle injury. Should operate in a bell cow role. But be warned that Tevin Coleman also likely to make his return, but he sucks. But it's a bad matchup for Carter. Since week six, Miami is allowing only 79 combo yards per game. They haven't allowed a touchdown during that same span. Both are league lows, so very.
I worry they don't give a full workload to Carter if he's not 100%. And then the matchup's tough.
It is. He's a warm body. Let's put it that way. If you're a desperate running back, we'll give him the C for that. A warm-bodied C.
Well, it could. I don't know how do we have a sound bite for a warm body?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Believe it or not, I do have another starting grade. It's Jameson Crowder.
Oh, come on.
Gets a C. Elijah Moore on IR, as is Corey Davis. The Jets got to throw to somebody.
Right.
It's not going to be Keelan Cole.
They're passing throughout.
DJ Montgomery, Braxton Berrios, Denzel Mims, or Vincent Smith. Right. It'll likely be Crowder. He did have six. I should have mentioned these teams did play in Week 11. Crowder did have six catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown in the first meeting, so a C on Crowder, but only in PPR leagues. Ryan Griffin, obviously on the bench, as is Zach Wilson for the Jets. We are done with them. Over to the Dolphins side, Miles Gaskin gets an A grade.
No, he does.
I know. I just like the way he delivered it. Gets an A grade. Oh my God.
Miles Gaskin, he's an enigma, really, but this is an amazing matchup. I mentioned earlier and Take a Chance on Me, the Jets allowing 170-plus combo yards and 1.8 total touchdowns per game to running backs, and that is why Salvin Ahmed was my Take a Chance on Me running back. There should be enough meat on the bone for Ahmed in this game. So both running backs startable for Miami. Jaylen Waddle has officially been ruled out now.
Oh, okay.
So bench him, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But start Devontae Parker. Going to give him a B. He missed the first meeting between these two teams, but he will be running as Miami's wide receiver one now. He played 71% of the snaps in his Week 13 return. So he should be near full health following the Dolphins' rare Week 14 bye last week. The Jets are so easy to run on that I'm a little concerned about the volume for Parker. But again, he's going to be the top wide receiver, so he gets a B. Or will he be?
No, he won't be. I know who is going to be the top wide receiver.
Mike Gesicki?
There it is.
Uh-huh. Who really plays wide receiver, although he's obviously tight end eligible. We'll speak to tight ends. The Jets are top eight in most fantasy points per game allowed to tight ends. Gesicki had five catches for 50 yards in the first meeting, but Miami tight ends as a whole topped 100 yards in that game. And I glossed over Isaiah Ford, who should be taking
Feel
over.
Feel free to gloss over.
Well,
Isaiah
he's going to take the Jaylen Waddle role, so I'm going to give him a C in PPR because it is a soft matchup. So if you're desperate a wide receiver, go for Isaiah Ford, and Tua might take a chance on me quarterback. He's probably more of a usually our take-homs are C's, but Tua is like more of a B.
I actually my number 9 ranked quarterback this week.
I had him as an A, but then when they lost Waddle, I kind of deemed him take on worthy in my mind, but
yeah,
he'll still do
right.
just fine.
Speaking of A's, Miles Gaskin is my number 2 ranked running back this week based on everything else that's changed this week.
Just the Jets.
You get to anoint the fantasy Fonzie, but what do you think?
He still scares me. It is an odd numbered week.
That
He's got that
matter.
Going. It does.
Stop.
It's scientific.
Is that week 15?
It's week 15.
Yeah, I think so.
It is week 15. We've got a couple of minutes before we break for the end of hour number one. Fantasy owners who are trying to deal with all of our COVID stuff, and generally in the playoffs, you want to be dropping your mid-tier starters, your Cortland Suttons of the world, who you will never play in any normal scenario,
sure,
to get backups to your stars who might get COVID.
Yeah, look at the schedule and see, am I going to play any of these guys in the next 3 weeks?
Right.
If the matchup's not awesome, drop them.
Drop them outright and go get backups to your starters that would be starters, if would be stars potentially, if the starter goes down. So, you know, that's just situational awareness that we need to have as fantasy owners. When we come back, we will continue through matchups, including Packers-Ravens coming up shortly, plus three tough questions. And there's some tricky ones that deal with COVID. Fantasy commissioners, managers will help give you some guidance on what you need to do in the trickiest week we've ever seen in the history of fantasy football.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Fantasy football has never been harder than it is this week. It's the game we love, and there's no stable footing for fantasy managers to try to make the right decisions this week.
You know, I feel one piece of luck out of all of this.
What's that?
Half of the fantasy managers are out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
they don't have to deal with this headache.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time. It's a good season to have a loss. Have not made the playoffs if you needed to.
This time of year, you hear people complaining who had a bye.
Yeah.
It's like, if you had Travis Kelce on roster, like, oh, I kind of wanted those points.
Yeah,
like, shut up.
Lavelle Neal has given me that.
But you don't hear that this year. Now people are happy, finally happy to have their bye.
Matt Harrison, what's happening at Shock Fantasy?
Super Dash, getting ready for the playoffs, making all of your tough lineup decisions a little bit easier from a statistical standpoint. Not sure I can make it easier from the health standpoint everybody.
Can't. Unfortunately.
Yeah, Air Bear promo code gets you a nice little discount at Shock Fantasy.
Air Bear.
Yep.
Nice, tidy little game for Air Bear on Thursday night.
Yeah. I was wearing my Air Bear t-shirt night.
I'm with you. Yep. I got mine too. This is a segment we call Three Tough Questions.
Tough question number one.
Should we drop Lamar Jackson, Matt?
So in a redraft league, he's absolutely...
Obviously, this is redraft only.
He's absolutely worth dropping, but should you drop him? No. Because in order to perform a sabotage drop, you would need to have done it already this week on Monday. So people would be picking him up along the way and wasting their fab. And if you do it next week, you are already advancing in your fantasy playoffs. And then only three other teams would be left in your playoffs to maybe have a crack at him. So if you're allowing playoff pickups, I assume others in your league in the consolation bracket are picking up players too. And then they'll grab him, and your sabotage drop is worthless. So don't sabotage drop him.
Brian, should we sabotage drop Lamar Jackson?
No, I wouldn't do it. I'm tempted to say yes, but he's got the Packers this week. We all know he's most likely not going to play, but he does have the Bengals next week. They played once already this year. Jackson had 257 passing yards, one passing touchdown, ran the ball for 88 yards. I think he's almost – it depends who's on your roster, but he's going to be startable next week, depending on him being healthy, and I think he will be. So I'm tempted to say yes, but I'm saying no.
Let's just take the name Lamar Jackson off of this player for a moment. This is just mystery player. Imagine the silhouette with a question mark in it, and that's the player we're describing.
QB Ravens from Tecmo Bowl.
Correct. Exactly one touchdown in 9 games this year. 9 of 12 games, scoring exactly one touchdown.
That appears to be nine times.
Average finish in full games this year is quarterback 14. Most leagues have 10 or 12 teams, so he's not even a starting quarterback in an average week. He is sitting right next to Carson Wentz, who is largely unrostered in many leagues in terms of average finish per game. He has just 3 finishes this year as QB7 or better. 3 all year. It's Christmas. And mystery quarterback has 3 finishes of quarterback 7 or higher. That's it. So are you going to start him the remainder of the way? This week, Green Bay, Cincinnati, or the Rams? No, probably not. He's got a bench grade coming this week. Next week, I haven't said it yet, it's coming. Next week against Cincinnati, I think he's going to be sitting at roughly a C grade.
So
maybe he's
your take a chance on me quarterback next week?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Championship week against the Rams, likely a bench or a C grade. You've probably got another quarterback who's better for you and more hazardous to an opponent. Why not drop him? Maybe to Matt's point, some consolation team's going to pick him up. I don't care. Doesn't hurt me. What hurts me is me starting Lamar Jackson.
You can totally drop him if there's a good player out there. But if not, he could do you more harm than good.
If you're in the playoffs, yeah. Lamar Jackson didn't get you there.
Tough question number 2.
In a league that locks rosters for the playoffs, what should the commissioner do if a team can't field a starting lineup because of all the COVID problems? As an example, you do not have a tight end. You don't have a valid tight end. Every one of your tight ends is out and your rosters are locked. What should the commissioner do?
Like if you have Austin Hooper and Tyler Higbee as your two tight ends.
Yes, as a perfect example. Brian.
Well, this is speaking directly to private leagues, home leagues, whatever you want to call them. The commissioner should make an exception. If a guy has been officially ruled out, put on IR, the COVID list, whatever you want to call it, you get one chance per player. I'll reach out to you and say, who do you want? I will add this player to your roster. You don't get to change your mind. And if he goes on, gets COVID, I don't care. You get one chance. I'm making an exception. That's it. But I would do a manual override. You can only really do this in the private home leagues.
Whatever. Yeah, right. You can't do it in a public contest
operators.
They
can't do this.
They just
cannot.
No, they can't. This is strictly for friends and family home leagues. Matt, same question. In a league that locks rosters for the playoffs, what should a commissioner do if a team cannot field a starting lineup at one position due to all the COVID problems?
First off, don't lock your rosters for the playoffs. And second, if you do, I think that you have to expand your bench for just this reason for the playoff teams. Then I think what you do is you do a fun little exercise and you have a draft for the remaining bench players that you could do at the beginning of your fantasy playoffs.
How would you establish the draft order?
I think that you would go the number one seed gets the first overall pick to fill out their bench. If you're adding, let's say, 5 bench spots to your rosters at the end of the playoffs, number one seed gets first pick, and then you have a nice little serpentine draft and finish out your rosters in that way.
This is a better answer than my answer.
Oh, that's good.
It's a good answer. It's a lot of work, though.
No, this is a great answer. I'll tell you why. The problem with the solution that you offered, and I would take your solution, Brian, which was I'm going to give a one-time exception to the guy who can't field a starting roster. You've got lock rosters, right? I don't have a tight end. This person gets to pick from all of the available tight ends. It could be a huge advantage to be able to go through all the tight ends and just take the one player you want when nobody else has that option. What I love about yours, Matt, is everybody gets the same advantage. Mm-hmm. It's equitable to everyone, and because you're doing it by record, the team that's earned it gets the first pick.
Man,
I love that
solution. I just won three tough questions.
That's
yeah.
outstanding. Brilliant.
Tough question number three.
You rendered his. You never even gave your answer. That's amazing.
I know.
That's.
I really actually won.
My answer.
For the first time in 9 years.
Broke the simulation.
I won the question.
You went. What was. How did,
Tubi
what,
went four for. Or now, six for was, five 1 year.
You're confusing. Take a chance on me with three tough questions.
No, it was three tough questions. It was five tough questions five, back then, and he went six for five.
Right, which is very hard to do. How did Captain Kirk break the simulation thing? Was it the Kobayashi maneuver or something? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
Brett,
Google Captain Kirk breaking the simulation or whatever. You'll see what I mean. It's not Kobayashi, but it's something Maru. The Kobayashi Maru? Something like that.
Foster.
Anyway, the answer I had was that I would grant you the roster exception, but I would give your opponent the same thing and the chance to go first. I like yours even better, which gives it to all of the remaining team players.
And you could still do it if you wanted to this weekend. You could do it before the Saturday night game happens. Everybody's got their Thursday guys locked, but you could still do it before the Saturday night game happens.
Or you could say just the obvious next guy up, like the next tight end on the depth chart. On the same team, you get it. Then you don't even have to reach out to the other.
You could do it that way.
Not so great. But I like Matt's answer is the best.
I think Matt's answer is the best.
Tough question number three:
should teams that are out of the playoffs continue to make roster moves during the playoffs? Matt,
Charch, I know that you and I have the same exact answer. So I'm not going
tell
to steal
people
your.
How, tell
I'm
people not how you steal, know.
I heard you on another radio show talking about this exact tough question, and I agree with you completely. So I will just take the W. I already won
your
three
win.
Tough questions.
All right, good.
Brian, what do you got?
Brian, should teams that are out of the playoffs be allowed to continue to make roster moves during the playoffs?
In redraft, no, unless there's some kind of consolation bracket where there's money on the line or some kind of prize. But on a high level, no, in redraft. In dynasty, absolutely, because you're always improving your team for the future. You can't restrict a non-playoff team in a dynasty league from making ads while the playoff teams have their essential free pick of all the available free agents. So no redraft, yes, dynasty in a nutshell.
If your league has provided some kind of an incentive for teams that aren't in the playoffs to continue to compete, like, for example, weekly high score, a consolation bracket or a toilet bowl or something like that, then yes. I mean, if you're asking those teams to continue to be competitive, then they need to be able to continue to make moves. If the answer is no, you don't just get to play spoiler and play keep away with free agents.
Sure.
So the answer is no in that case. So it's a two-part answer. Brett, it's something Maru.
Hi. So
what is it that Captain Kirk broke the simulation with?
So the simulation itself was called the Kobayashi Maru.
I did get it right.
Yes.
Wow.
So that was the name of the simulation.
Okay.
He was the only cadet in the Starfleet to ever beat it by reprogramming the simulation so that it was possible to win. Nice. So that was the name of the simulation, a franchise I've never...
I only had two out of three questions right. I'm giving myself a bonus point for that.
Wow.
So now I'm going to go three out of three. This was the first time I had not gone three out of three, and I found a way to give myself an extra bonus point.
And it was a Star Trek question.
Yes, it was. All right, let's go to matchups, including Packers taking on the Ravens. Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams are automatic A's, obviously, and especially in this matchup against a bad Ravens secondary. But let's talk about Alan Lazard. 6 and 7 targets the last two games.
That's
and
good.
Baltimore's without its two best cornerbacks. I think he is a COVID-weak dart throw. You guys like to call your darts C darts. He's a C grade, and he's a dart throw. So we're going to give him the C dart, Alan Lazard. A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones are just C grades here each. Dylan got far more work last week. And I think it looks like the Packers are trying to ensure that Jones is fresh for the playoffs. Baltimore's a very good run defense. They're only giving up 3.8 yards per carry on the season. That's the third lowest rate. And since their week 8 bye, more recently, Baltimore's only allowed a single run of more than 15 yards since week 8. And they've kept opposing running backs completely out of the end zone since week 8. Week 8 was a long time ago. Nobody even knew what Omicron was in week 8. Let's go over to the Baltimore side. Mark Andrews didn't suffer at all with Tyler Huntley at the helm last week, so we can safely start him again here, although I don't think Huntley's going to end up going. We do expect Lamar Jackson to go in this game. Green Bay has limited tight end production, but when facing elite talents, T.J. Hockenson, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Packers have been exposed. Each of them saw 8 or more targets and averaged 75 yards, and 2 of the 3 scored touchdowns. Marquise Brown, C grade here. We'll bump him up to a, well, I'm gonna move him to a B grade on the expectation that Jackson will go as expected here. Mired in a sizable scoring slump after a hot start, and a touchdown, though, possible here because Green Bay has allowed the most touchdowns per game to wide receivers, 1.8 per game over the last 5 weeks, and they've done that while allowing the 12th fewest receptions. So maybe the touchdown production's a little bit fluky here. If Jaire Alexander comes back, it doesn't faze me that much because it'll be his first game back after 2 months, and I think he'll probably hit the field a little rusty and on a diminished snap count. So I'd still stick with the B grade on Marquise Brown. I've got Lamar Jackson on the bench, and I've really been back and forth on this. Now, the presumption is that his mobility is going to be dramatically curtailed here.
Yeah.
And if I got to rely on Jackson's arm to power me to fantasy points, that feels like trouble. As mentioned earlier, he's topped one passing touchdown in just 2 games. Average passing game is just 260 yards isn't bad, but the 1.4 touchdowns is not good. Almost exactly Ben Roethlisberger on the season. Green Bay's secondary has been inconsistent, but on the whole has been good. So I'm keeping him on the bench. Rashad Bateman came off the bench last week. Well, you're all talking about him like, this is the breakout game for Bateman. This is the breakout game for Bateman. Never comes. We all give up on him. He doesn't even start the game. But then Tyler Huntley throws to him like crazy, and he ends up with a good game last week. I'm not chasing that weird, fluky output.
Sure.
I need more consistency from Rashad Bateman before we go there. Let's take a break. When we come back, Matt, this Raiders and Browns game is, who knows which Browns are in, which are going to be out. This is not going to be easy.
Who knows what day we'll play it?
Well, seemingly on Tuesday now. I don't think they can move it again.
Nope, it's
all
Monday.
I know is it gives Darren Waller.
Right, Monday, they could move it again.
Darren Waller has a better chance of playing?
I guess. Maybe a little bit. This thing's going to be ugly. We'll hear Matt try to muddle through Raiders-Browns when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. It is the most grueling, difficult week in the history of fantasy football and this show, as exemplified by Matt Harrison trying to break down the Raiders taking on the Browns in a game that has been moved from Saturday to Monday.
Yeah.
And Matt, there's so many shifting sands on this, but I still got to believe that the Browns are going to be without many key components to their offense in this one.
Yeah.
And their defense, which is a very important part for the Raiders. Like, their entire secondary may miss this game.
Yeah, so as I was writing up this matchup, because I write up what I'm going to say, 23 players on the Browns are on the COVID reserve list, 15 of which are starters, including, as of now, 7 starting members of the defense and 8 backups on the defense.
Insane. And I like Raiders in this game.
That's good for the Raiders, right?
And I think Baker Mayfield tweeted something like, Derek Carr is going to eat us alive or something like that.
Yeah, well, let's start with the easiest Raider to rate, and that's Hunter Renfrow, who gets an A grade. He's the entire offense for them right now. 14 targets, 13 catches, 117 yards and a score last week. Has also been targeted at least 9 times in 5 of the last 6 games.
9 times.
He should see a fair amount of MJ Stewart in this game, who hasn't logged a snap this year, as both Troy Hill and Greg Newsome look like they're going to miss this game. Foster Moreau, I have him on the bench. Darren Waller looks like he's out with a knee injury, but now that the game's been moved 2 days later, it's possible that Darren Waller could play.
Please.
No tight end except for Travis Kelce has topped the 51-yard mark on the Browns all season.
Mm.
So I got both of the tight ends on the bench in this one. Derek Carr, I'm giving a B grade to. He's averaging 302 yards per game and a score and a half. And with so many members of the Browns defense out, I think he can wiggle his way to at least 275-2. That's B grade worthy in my book. Josh Jacobs, I'm giving a B grade to as well. The Raiders had to abandon the run last week.
Mm.
Jacobs still ended up with 14 touches and has been very active in the passing game as of recent, averaging just over 5 catches per game in his last 5. Only Leonard Fournette has more running back catches in that span.
Wow.
Every non-Ravens runner to face the Browns has had a good week since mid-October, so Jacobs is fine here.
Mm-hmm.
On the Cleveland side, Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum right now both out on the COVID list. Offensive tackle Jedrick Wills, offensive guard Wyatt Teller, Austin Hooper, Jarvis Landry, and Anthony Schwartz are all on the COVID list. Not to mention they lost tackle Jack Conklin a few weeks ago, and Kareem Hunt is on the shelf with an injury. So Nick Mullins
and
is your
COVID.
Yeah. Nick Mullins is your starter. He started 9 times for the 49ers last year.
And 17 in his career. Which is a lot. And credit the Browns for having their third-string quarterback's got 17 NFL starts.
Their third-string quarterback is the best third-string quarterback in the league. It's got to be.
True.
He averaged a very respectable 263 yards and 1.3 touchdowns last year. But with 3 of his 5 offensive linemen and 3 of his main 5 receivers missing the game, I don't think you can start Mullins with confidence. And I covered David Njoku in the Take a Chance on Me segment because Mullins does target the tight end, and I think that's a great spot for Njoku. Last week against Baltimore, Donovan Peoples-Jones was the only wide receiver besides Jarvis Landry to receive a target. Just out of sheer volume, he gets a C grade here. Rashard Higgins is the only active roster wide receiver right now besides DPJ. Finally, Nick Chubb, who really has been flat-out disappointing in his 2 consecutive games against the Ravens with that bye week in between.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised Charge didn't have a Nick Chubb. Should we drop him? Question. Because
no.
You usually do that when a guy has a bye week.
I do overreact sometimes, but we're not dropping Nick Chubb. But I don't know that I'm starting him here either.
I'm giving him an A grade. He's still dominating. He's absolutely dominating the workload. 20 touches last week. And the Raiders are absolutely brutal against running backs. They're ranking in the bottom 10 in just about every statistical category. And I considered D. Ernest Johnson as a C. Dart harpoon here, but I don't think I could trust the workload of him in the fantasy playoffs.
He's done nothing in these opportunities to fill in for Kareem Hunt. His one good game is when he got all the carries.
They're going to hand the ball to Chubb 30 times in this game.
I'm so nervous about the fact that they can't get anything else going, that all the Raiders will do is play to stop Nick Chubb.
The Raiders have tried to stop the run all year, and it hasn't worked.
Yeah, but then you had a function. You still had to account for a functional quarterback in passing game, and he might be missing two linemen. I'm way more nervous about Chubb than you are here.
There we go.
I can't take credit for this, but I saw on Twitter someone said this game should be impossible to be played because Baker Mayfield lives at the stadium.
That's a great point. He's infected the entire stadium.
Yeah, you can't go to his house.
Bengals take on the Broncos, Brian. This is the rare game that doesn't seem to have any really significant COVID-related issues. So let's start on the Bengals side. Joe Mixon has been disappointing over the past, I don't know, 3-4 games. What do you think here?
Yeah, Mixon has cooled down in recent weeks, partially because he's been banged up, but either way, his production has slowed. So just a B for him. He's also losing a lot of his receiving work to Samaje Perine.
True.
Perine has out-targeted Mixon 6-2 over the last 2 weeks. Not a great matchup, not a bad matchup for running backs. The Broncos have allowed the sixth highest yards per carry, but the sixth fewest touchdowns to opposing running backs. So just a B for Mixon. I'm going to give T. Higgins a B. Mr. T. Higgins, he has racked up 3 straight 100-plus yard games. This is a somewhat tough matchup on paper, though. Patrick Surtain and Ronald Darby are a very formidable cornerback duo over the last 5 weeks. Denver has allowed the 8th fewest yards to wide receivers. Despite that, I'm going to give Ja'Marr Chase a B as well. He always has A upside with his talent. Last week, Chase became the 5th wide receiver since the AFL merger to record 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in his rookie season, joining Justin Jefferson, Randy Moss, Odell Beckham, and Mike Evans on a very prestigious list. So a B for Chase and Higgins, both wide receivers. But a bench grade for Tyler Boyd. He continues to be the odd man out in the wide receiver room, not liking him this week. And lastly, just a C for Joe Burrow. Last week, Burrow notched multiple passing touchdowns for the first time since Week 8, ending a 4-game drought where he totaled just 3 scores through the air. Unfortunately for Burrow, it'll be tough to stay hot against the Broncos, who are top 10 in fewest passing yards allowed per game and own the lowest opponent completion percentage at just 58%. And what's more, no opposing quarterback has managed to top 2 passing touchdowns against Denver all season long. So just a C for Joe Burrow. Over to the Denver side, starting with the running backs and Melvin Gordon, can give him a C. He returned last week to lead the Broncos backfield in carries with 24 and snaps. Cincy is a decent matchup for running backs, so allowing 125 combo yards per game to the position. And that is why Javonte Williams gets a C as well. He will be active for this game. Basically back in that 50-50 split, though, which sucks. No offense, Melvin Gordon. You're still a very good football player.
He is actually running fine.
He is. But, man, it was fun watching
Javonte. I know I don't want him to, but the reality is Melvin Gordon's good.
He's the most hated man in fantasy football.
For no reason. It's nothing to do with him anyway.
Yep.
We just want bell cow Javonte. We're going to have to wait till next year. But Javonte is the preferred catcher.
You watch. Melvin Gordon's going to re-sign with the Broncos.
No, he's not.
Don't put that evil on us.
I'll be so disappointed.
The Bengals are allowing 7 receptions per game to opposing running backs. So I like Javonte still this week. He gets a C. I don't like Jerry Jeudy a whole lot, considering he has scored 0 touchdowns this year. He has been hurt a little bit, but just a C for Jeudy. The Bengals have allowed 5 80-yard receiving games over the last 5 weeks. If a Broncos wide receiver is going to notch 80 receiving yards, it's probably Jerry Jeudy. It's not going to be Cortland Sutton. He's on the bench. Sutton is scoreless since week 6. He's been held under 30 yards in 5 straight games. He's just been
unbelievable,
absolutely brutal.
Pay him $30 million and don't pass him the ball.
Teddy Bridgewater is the fantasy eraser.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sutton easily droppable in redraft formats, but he's still got a hold in Dynasty. Unfortunately, I'm doing it. It's painful. Lastly, for the pass catchers, Noah Fant gets a C. Albert O has really eaten into Fant's production, but this is a decent matchup. The Bengals are allowing 5-plus catches and nearly 60 yards per game to opposing tight ends, and over their last six games, Cincy has surrendered 5 scores to the tight end position, so a very safe C for Fant. And Teddy B, the B stands for bench for Teddy Bridgewater.
No doubt about it. So the Washington game against Philadelphia has been moved to Tuesday, and I'm going to do my best with the information we have at this time, which is basically most of Washington's not playing, and their starting quarterback could very well be Kyle Shurmur. Yes, offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur's kid, who I think was drafted.
I think he was drafted. He might have been like a fifth or sixth round.
Might have been drafted. I think the Chiefs, and he got cut. And then he bounced around a little bit, and they signed him recently.
There's going to be no Ryan Fitzpatrick, Willis Reed moment coming out of the tunnel.
Oh, God.
By God, that's Ryan Fitzpatrick's music.
Yes, that'd be, I'd love that. So with Kyle Shurmur at the helm, and even if Kyle Allen defies expectation and comes back here, I only have one starter for all of Washington. Injuries throughout the team, including they're down to their fifth-string center, a guy named John Toth, whose day job is as a plus-sized male model.
He's your starting center.
I hear you. Antonio Gibson straight up on the bench, with defenses really only having to stop Antonio Gibson and not worry about the passing game led by Kyle Shurmur. Gibson is averaging under 4 yards per carry in each of the last three games. And Charles Leno may not start. That's their left tackle. Over the last three games, only one team has allowed fewer rushing yards than the Eagles have. They've turned into an elite run defense. It was a bad matchup anyway, made worse. I'm not starting Antonio Gibson. And the whole passing game on the bench, including Terry McLaurin, who wasn't playing all that well anyway. He had, get this, McLaurin has reached 60 yards once in the last six games.
Yikes.
That's terrible. Has one touchdown over that stretch, too. And brutal matchup with Darius Slay. The Slay ride is back.
There it is.
Time of year.
No.
They're right there.
Hey! There we go. The Slay ride is back. He's Pro Football Focus's fourth-ranked cornerback. Don't start Terry McLaurin here.
The horse neigh works, too.
It kind of does. You're one starter. If you believe, like I do, that Philadelphia is going to stake a big lead, J.D. McKissic. Assuming he clears the concussion protocol, he's expected to go here. The Eagles are going to lead throughout, and I can see Kyle Shurmur just doing dump off short passes to J.D. McKissic in PPR leagues. He is a C grade. Let's go over to Philadelphia. I've upgraded basically all of my Eagles by a full letter grade because of all of the injuries that the Washington defense has, including potentially all of its starting defensive line in this game. Miles Sanders has been great while healthy and playing. He's averaged over 5.5 yards per carry over his last three full games. The Washington run defense had been fantastic, but again, if these guys aren't starting, maybe it doesn't even matter. And Philadelphia's likely to get ahead and just run out the clock in this game. So I like Miles Sanders here. Washington has only given up one score since their week 9 bye, but maybe it doesn't even matter. You could play a desperation Boston Scott if you wanted to, but I don't think I'm going to go quite that deep here. We're going to stick with Miles Sanders, who's gotten the vast majority of the work. I originally had Jalen Hurts on the bench, but he gets an extra 2 days to heal that ankle, so maybe he can run a bit here. And even if he can't, the passing could come easily if Washington doesn't have all the defensive players it's expected to have here. Over the past 6 weeks, the average game against Washington passing game is a modest 221 yards and 1.3 touchdowns, and that includes holding far better passers, Derek Carr and Dak Prescott, to a combined one score over the past 2 weeks. But again, if there's injury ravaged as we expect, I think Hurts, and if Hurts' foot is back, then maybe he can, between running and passing, he can get up to a C grade on this. Dallas Goedert is a solid B grade. With Zach Ertz out, he's topped 60 yards in 4 of the past 7 games. The football team has been pretty stout against opposing tight ends. Only 2 tight ends have topped 60 yards against them. But again, due to injuries, I think you can start Dallas Goedert pretty safely. And lastly, Devonta Smith. Over his last 3 games, Smith averaging just 33 yards, hasn't found the end zone. In Washington's last six games, which includes matchups against Brady and Prescott, only Tyler Lockett and Hunter Renfrow were able to reach 65 yards. So we're gonna throw out Devonta Smith here. Well, maybe even give him a C grade. Well, I'll go ahead give him a C grade. Because again, if Washington's missing all the players we expect them to be missing, Smith's the best chance for somebody of the receivers to have a big game.
He's a guy you want to start if you're going up against someone who started Travis Kelce or something like that.
Yeah, you need something special to happen. Yeah, that's a great angle. That is a great angle. When we come back, our final three matchups, including Seahawks taking on the Rams.
Another Tuesday game
with a bunch of injuries. What to do with DK Metcalf? We'll talk about that when we come back for the final segment of Fantasy Football Weekly.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Final segment of Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchian, Matt Harrison, Ryan Johnson with you in the craziest week in the 27-year history of Fantasy Football Weekly. You're going to have to stay on your toes. We encourage you to follow my rankings, available for free at guillotineleagues.com. We'll be doing our best to keep up with all the craziness and help you start your lineup correctly. We do that on this show here, but it continues to be updated all the way up to kickoffs on Monday, Tuesday, Sunday. So we have games Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday this week.
Yes.
Crazy.
Poor Friday. Wow.
Poor Friday. It's a bad deal.
Well, then it goes Saturday again. It's 8 of the next 10 days there's going to be pro football.
Wow. That's nuts.
Starting this weekend.
Really? 8 of the next 10? No.
Yeah.
Can't, really?
No Friday this week.
No,
no Wednesday.
Wednesday. No Wednesday. That's it.
And then
no, there's
Christmas.
No Thursday game. No Thursday game this week. They're done with Thursdays.
Are they?
Yeah. They're done with Thursday games. I'm almost sure. Seahawks take on the Rams, Matt, and for the Seahawks, Tyler Lockett, probably not available, maybe available. Maybe he comes back by Tuesday. It's possible.
It's possible. Alex Collins and Tyler Lockett are the notable Seahawks on the COVID list. There's going to be more in this game, but those are the only Seahawks. Rashad Penny was my take a chance of me runner. Russell Wilson has never thrown for a 300-yard game against the Rams in 12 career starts. And he has thrown multiple touchdowns only once in his last five matchups with LA. However, the Rams have 25 players on the COVID list, including four starting defensive players, seven backup defensive players. And Aaron Donald was estimated as a limited participant with a knee injury because the Rams can't meet in person. So it was an estimated limited participant. For that, I'm going to give Wilson a B grade because he's kind of facing a preseason-style defense. Some of the noteworthy guys who are out on the defensive side, Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, it's pretty big. So let's move on to DK Metcalf, who did practice in full on Friday. And if Lockett is out, both Freddie Swain and D. Eskridge are both dealing with injuries as well. So Metcalf, he's been working through foot and back stuff, but he looks like he's ready to go. With Jalen Ramsey on the COVID list, that's a good thing for Metcalf. And it's worth noting that Metcalf has scored twice against the Rams in each of his last two games against them, and that's with Ramsey playing. So I think DK will play, and if he's active, he's a B grade as well. Gerald Everett kind of becomes the de facto number two wide receiver with Lockett out, and it's also a revenge game for Gerald Everett in L.A., and the first time they played this year in week five, Everett was out in that game. So the Rams are normally the middle of the pack against the tight end position, and a normal tight end coverage guy, Ernest Jones, is still active as of now, but he's not that great at coverage. So he's actually allowed 3 touchdowns in his last 6 games. Of the 25 Rams on the COVID list, the most important on the offensive side are right tackle Rob Havenstein, Daryl Henderson, Odell Beckham.
Although Beckham tweeted that he was negative on Friday, so I think he's going in this game.
He could have been talking about an STD, though. You never know.
That's a good point.
And,
can't rule that
and
out.
Tyler Higbee, who just tested positive on Friday, so he probably won't go. Anyway, Matthew Stafford, he still gets an A grade. Unlike Wilson, Stafford has thrown for 300 yards against the Seahawks every time he's faced them in a Rams uni. And he's thrown.
Well, it would be the one other time.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. He's thrown for 3 touchdown passes in each of the last 3 games. Seattle is allowing the most passing yards per game, but weirdly, the 6th fewest passing touchdowns. So that's kind of strange.
Yes.
Cooper Kupp is my fantasy aardvark of the week.
Oh, I like it.
That's a solid A grade there. Van Jefferson, I'm giving him a B on the premise that Odell doesn't go. If Odell does go, I think Van Jefferson's still a C grade. Van will line up against DJ Reed most often, where Jefferson has a 5-inch advantage in the height department. And then the last guy is Sony Michel, who gets an A grade because it looks like Henderson is out for a 3rd straight week. He's on the COVID list, and he's still dealing with some injuries.
But again, now that they've moved it, Henderson may go.
If Henderson does go, Henderson gets the A grade. If Henderson doesn't go, Michelle gets the A grade.
Okay.
Because he would get to bell cow again, and he's averaged 22 carries for 100 yards the last 2 weeks without Henderson.
It's better if Henderson doesn't go because you know what to get out of Sony. If Henderson does go, I worry a little bit about a possible partial
timeshare.
Did we call him Sony Michelle Cow?
Michelle Cow. I like it. Michelle Cow would face his easiest matchup that he's seen so far this year. Seattle is allowing the most touches per game to opposing runners at 34 per game, and opposing backs have hit them up for 168 combo yards per game this season. So even if Henderson does play, Sony Michel's still a plausible C start here if Henderson does go.
All right.
It's gross. It's a Tuesday game.
No, it's all bad.
If you can start anybody ahead of these guys, except for Cooper Kupp, I think, and Stafford, I'd start those guys.
Saints take on the Bucs, Brian. And for the Saints, this is a tricky matchup a lot of different ways. Alvin Kamara has traditionally been able to find ways to fantasy relevancy against a very good run defense. What do you think about this week?
Yeah, well, we'll start with Kamara. I'm going to give him a B. By now, everyone should be aware that the Bucs are a brutal matchup for running backs. They're allowing less than 100 combo yards per game to the position, just 8 total touchdowns allowed to running backs all year. But one of those touchdowns did go to Kamara when these teams met in Week 8. Kamara also totaled 76 combo yards with that touchdown. That's kind of the floor and almost ceiling we're looking at here. Tempered expectations with Kamara, but certainly
it's the
startable.
Floor and the ceiling.
Yeah, it's
at the same time.
It's an uncomfortable spot to be in.
It's a really weird room.
Speaking of a weird room, the wide receiver room is pretty weird for the Saints with Tre'Quan Smith, Marquez Callaway, and Aesop Winston all who combined for just 6 catches last week against the Jets.
Love his fables, by the way.
But New Orleans didn't need to throw much in that game. They will likely need to throw more against the Bucs. I am going to give Traquan Smith a C. He had a touchdown in the earlier meeting this year, and he scored 2 touchdowns in 1 game against the Bucs last year and 1 in the other. So 4 touchdowns across his last 3 games for Traquan Smith against the Bucs. So a C for him and a C for Nick Vinette, Saints tight end. Vinette has seen the second most targets from Taysom Hill over the last 2 weeks, and the Bucs are allowing 6-plus catches and nearly 60 yards per game to opposing tight ends. So if you're desperate at tight end, Nick Vinette is worth a shot. And Taysom Hill, not going to give him an A, but I'm going to give him a B.
I like him, yeah.
He has a 100% completion rate in 3 career games against the Bucs. Now, granted, his pass attempts in those 3 games were 2, 1, and 1. He'll probably pass it more in this one. But, of course, it's all about the rushing with Taysom Hill. In his last 6 starts, Hill is averaging 63 rushing yards and 1 rushing touchdown per game. Josh Allen just ran for 100-plus yards against the Bucs last week. Also had 300-plus passing yards, and I think we can call Taysom Hill a very poor man's Josh Allen, so a B for Taysom Hill. Over to the Tampa Bay side, starting with Leonard Fournette. He will play in this game. He's been nursing an injury, but he will play. He gets a C, just 43 scoreless combo yards on 11 touches in the first meeting. He'll likely get more touches in this game, though, as his last 3 touch counts have been 23, 20, and 24, an absolute bell cow as of late, but a tough matchup for him as well. New Orleans is allowing just 97 combo yards per game to running backs. It's a tough matchup for Mike Evans, too, likely to square off with Marshawn Lattimore yet again. Evans did have 2 catches for 48 yards and a touchdown in the first meeting, but in his previous 5 games against the Saints, he has totaled just 10 catches for 136 yards and 1 touchdown. Those averages do not come out to be a very pretty number for Evans. But Chris Godwin put up very pretty numbers in the first game against the Saints. He gets an A. He's had at least 10 catches and over 100 yards in back-to-back games. He could do it again in this one. The Saints have allowed the 6th most yards to wide receivers. And Godwin lit him up in the first meeting for 8 catches, 140 yards, and a touchdown. So love Godwin here. He gets an A. As does Rob Gronkowski. He really didn't play in the first meeting. He was coming back from injury. Probably shouldn't even suited up. Only saw 5 snaps, no catches. The Saints are a tough matchup on paper. They've allowed an average of 39 yards per game to tight ends over the last 5 weeks. That's not great. But when targeted 7 or more times against the Saints, tight ends have averaged a healthy 55 yards per game. That's good news for Gronk, who has seen at least 8 targets in 4 straight. And lastly, Tom Brady. What can you say about him other than he gets an A? 375 yards, 4 passing touchdowns in the first meeting.
I know.
Probably going to do it again.
He's Brady's breaking news, he's been good.
Yeah.
The Monday night game, well, the one of the Monday night games now is Vikings taking on the Bears. Bears riddled with COVID and regular injuries as well. Notable defenders who will be missing for the Bears or expected to be missing, Eddie Jackson, Eddie Goldman, Artie Burns have all got COVID. Roquan Smith's got a hamstring. He may not go in this game. They were already without Khalil Mack, who was on IR, and Danny Trevathan, who was on IR. This is a ravaged defense, and so there's great opportunities for the Vikings offense in this one. Justin Jefferson's an absolute lock, and not that you need me to really even expand on that, but let me mention the 2 full games without Adam Thielen. He's seen 29 targets. So obviously, they continue to throw to Justin Jefferson, and they will do so here as well. He's going to get shadowed by Jalen Johnson for the whole game, but they did that against Devontae Adams last week, and the Packers found ways to get Adams on other players, moving him to the slot and some other things. Vikings will do that with Jefferson here too. K.J. Osborne, an obvious save for Jefferson. K.J. Osborne, I've bumped up to a B on all of these defensive injuries. He would have gone up against Artie Burns, which was already a positive matchup, but this means they will probably have to go to our favorite whipping boy.
Oh, Kendall Vildor.
That's right. Back on the field. And if it's not Vildor, it might be Xavier Crawford, although he may not go either. He's questionable for this game. K.J. Osborne, I've got as a B grade right now. Kirk Cousins feels incredibly safe here. Multiple touchdowns in 6 straight games. I've already told you, I like Jefferson. I like Osborne. Actually, I like Tyler Conklin, too. Kirk Cousins, I'm going to give him a B only because I think the running game is going to be a big factor here as well. Tyler Conklin, startable. Bears have only allowed 4 tight end touchdowns all season, but they were just picked apart by Green Bay's backup tight ends for 7 receptions and 95 yards, and they've actually given up 3 tight end scores in their last 4 games. Conklin probably gets a few extra looks here with Thielen remaining out of this game. I believe he'll be out of this game. So we'll give Tyler Conklin a C grade in this one. And again, all those missing parts could be a huge part for the Vikings. And Dalvin Cook's an obvious A. This might have been a B grade in a trickier matchup without all of these starters gone. So Cook averages only 82 combo yards and has only scored twice in five career meetings against the Bears. But who cares? All bets are off. The only really knock on Dalvin Cook, wasn't able to catch while he was wearing that harness for his shoulder last week. May not be able to catch much in this game. Still A grade for Dalvin Cook. Let's go over to the other side for Chicago. David Montgomery missed some practice with regular non-COVID illness, but came back on Friday. We expect him to be able to go in this one. The Vikings defense finally healthy, but they were healthy last week, and Najee Harris gouged them for 5 yards per carry and 2 scores. So I still like Montgomery here. In 3 career games against the Vikings, he averages 25 rushes for 104 yards and a score per game. If you tell me David Montgomery is going to get 25 carries, I'm definitely in. I have a B grade on him here because of the prospects potentially of the Vikings getting out ahead against this injury-ravaged defense, and maybe the running game gets phased out. And I worry a little bit about Fields eating into some of his rushing output. Speaking of Justin Fields, he was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback, yeah. So obviously I like him. If Allen Robinson comes back in time to play, I like him a lot in this matchup against the Vikings cornerbacks. As I also mentioned earlier in this show, he's got positive matchups at every stop. Bashaud Breeland, Mackenzie Alexander, or even Patrick Peterson. No Vikings quarterback ranking higher than 128th in coverage by Pro Football Focus. If Robinson's out, you could dart throw at Jakeem Grant.
What grade would you give Fields, Charge?
I have a B grade on Justin Fields. Thank you for allowing me to clarify that. I have a B grade on Allen Robinson if he goes, a C grade on Jakeem Grant if Robinson doesn't go. Darnell Mooney gets a B grade. Vikings have allowed the most yards to receivers, 203 per game. And their last 7 opponents have all had at least one receiver hit 86 yards. Mooney would be that guy. Minnesota's also allowed a receiver to score in 7 of their last.
I'm shocked that he's a B.
He's a B grade. You think he should be an A?
I think he should be an A.
He might be an A. Fine. A grade. It's Christmas time. I'll give you the A.
You get an A.
And you get an A. Cole Kmet returned to practice on Friday. If Eric Kendricks does not go for the Vikings, give Cole Kmet a starting C grade for your team. If you miss any part of the show, if you are listening over the air, this is also a podcast. You can go podcast back and listen to it. If it's a podcast, look for us on your favorite sports talk radio station. We'll be back next week for a week that hopefully has a lot more clarity than this one.
Let's hope so.
A grueling week. Best of luck, everybody. This is not easy stuff. We'll talk to you 1 week from today. Bye-bye.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.